The views and opinions expressed on my story, Living with Lupus Podcast, represents each person's individual experience. By listening to this podcast or reading our blog, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. As always, consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. My Story Living with Lupus Podcast is officially trademarked, all rights reserved. Thank you for joining me for another episode of My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Hendricks, and I'm so glad that you could join me on this Monday, May 9th, 2022. Hey, I know I've been MIA, but as you know, I'm trying to resolve some healthcare issues dealing with lupus, among other things. On today's episode, we'll be talking with researcher and humanitarian Tom Palladino, Healing Through Scalar Light. You'll find out what that is all about. Also, we'll be discussing in lupus, normal appearing skin is not normal. Also, shocking mismanagement in our organ donation system is causing needless deaths. So, you know what I want you to do. That's right, all the way from the United States to Hanoi, Vietnam. That's right, get ready to grab your cup of coffee, your cup of tea, and to my listeners, late at night, you know I appreciate you. So get ready to grab your favorite glass of wine and join the conversation right here on My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. We know that the month of May represents Lupus Awareness Month, and here are your lupus facts and statistics for May 9, 2022. The Lupus Foundation of America estimates that 1.5 million Americans and at least 5 million individuals worldwide have a form of lupus. Lupus strikes mostly women of childbearing age. However, men, children, and teenagers develop lupus also. 90% of people living with lupus are women. Most people with lupus develop the disease between the ages of 15 to 44. People with lupus can experience significant symptoms such as pain, extreme fatigue, hair loss, cognitive issues, physical impairments that affect every facet of our lives. Many suffer from cardiovascular disease, strokes, disfiguring rashes, and painful joints. For others, there may be no visible symptoms at all. The best estimate based on available data on incidence is 16,000 new cases per year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, also known as the CDC, are currently gathering updated data for all ethnic subpopulations in the U.S. So they anticipate this number will change. The facts remain that lupus is a devastating and life-changing illness that currently has no cure. And let's not forget that lupus is not a one-size-fits-all illness. And that was your lupus facts for May 9th, 2022. Up next, Tom Palladino explains exactly what scalar light healing is all about. So stay with me. As promised to my listening audience, we have Tom Palladino, who is a researcher on healing through scalar light. Thank you for joining us today, Tom.
Thank you, Dr. Hendricks. Pleasure to be here.
Now, can you tell my listening audience how you got into doing your research through healing through scalar lights?
It's an interesting journey. I studied Nikola Tesla, the great scientist Nikola Tesla, and I realized that Tesla was using a different type of energy, scalar energy, what some people call zero-point energy. It's not electricity. So I've devoted my career to study this energy and how it can be used, if you will, for quantum healing.
Now, can you define quantum healing for those listeners who don't quite understand what that actually means?
Sure. I describe quantum healing as an energy, scalar energy, in which we're working with information. Now, we don't work with flesh and blood, so to speak. We always work with information. And my scalar energy instruments work on the information field. Everybody has an information field. So this is what we're accessing when we're working with people or animals, for that matter. We're working with their signal or their information field. It's a new science, and it's frankly fascinating that everything has an information field.
Okay, now, the majority of your clients, what type of symptoms or problems do they come to you for you to heal?
I will say this, that when I'm working with people, it's not me. I'm not the healer. God's the healer. So I am working with this energy, this quantum energy. I believe it's a divine energy. Mm-hmm. And I let God decide how to use that energy and how the healing will take place. Now, for instance, when I'm working with these instruments, I'm able to send energy into the quantum field and to, if you will, re-instruct or correct an imbalance. Many people will come to us and they say, well, I feel my meridians or my brain waves are out of balance. So we can balance with information. We can rebalance their brain waves. We can rebalance their chakras. Now, you do that by way of an animating force. The animating force is always scalar energy. So what I'm getting at is my instrument, it's a scientific instrument, will send out instructions that will rebalance the brain waves, that will rebalance the seven chakras. And many people say that that type of session has helped them to achieve superior health.
So it's like basically getting your chakras into alignment with each other to heal the body.
Yes, precisely. And in so doing, then the chakras instruct the body. Now, many people have come to us and they've said they've had problems with autoimmune disease, and I know this is up your alley.
Right.
By balancing the chakras, by correcting the chakras, then the immune system can finally discriminate between self and non-self. So this energy is instructive, it's corrective. And when with energy we re-instruct or correct or balance the seven chakras, then we finally have the ability to discriminate between self and non-self. So it's an informational process.
Okay. Also, there, how can I put this? Some people may think, oh, this is a hoax, but you have testimonials from your clients who have felt the benefits of Scalar Light, correct?
That's correct, yes. Many, yes.
How many patients, well, I think of clients as patients. How many clients do you see on a normal basis?
I want to make this very clear. When I'm working with these instruments, I work with the energy field of a person, and I do that through a photograph.
Oh, okay.
Their photograph, and their photograph has their imprint or has their energy signature. So all of my work is with photographs of people and animals. Now, with that said, this is a new science in which I can access the information field on a photograph. So, again, I'm not working per se with flesh and blood. I'm working just with energy. Exclusively energy. Now, when I'm working in that dimension, I could easily work with 5,000, 10,000 people a day by way of their photograph.
Now, what type of photograph is needed? Is there a particular...
Yeah, very good question. Any type of photograph will suffice, as long as it's an actual photograph of some part of their skin. When we photograph a person, that person then, if you will, has a signature, and we can detect the information or the signal on the photograph. So that's the new science of scalar energy, in which we work just with information signals. We never work with people. We work with photographs that have information signals. So if you will, this is exclusively an informational process. There's no physical constitution here. Everything we're doing is of a non-physical origin.
Okay, and what other types of programs do you offer through Scalar Light?
Now, we have a session in which we can actually identify pathogens, microbes on a photograph, and we're able to send signals into that photograph to disrupt that signal or to remove or cure or transmute that signal of a microbe. So working with information, we can negate a microbe. We can negate the information that a microbe exists by. So we're negating viruses, bacteria, fungi, all on the information plane. We don't do this physically. We do this through information.
Okay, and that can be, organisms can be picked up from a photograph.
Exactly. If you look at a person's photograph, you say, well, that person is wearing a blue shirt, or that person has blonde hair. Well, the instrument can also look at a photograph and can pinpoint a microbe. And in so doing, we can send energy, information into that photographic force field to destroy, to break apart that microbe.
Now, do you offer, with your programs, say if a person has a addictive behavior or needs a detox, all of that can be done through the Scalar Light, through the photograph also.
Exactly. We have a program in which we can pinpoint on a person's photograph if there's the presence of marijuana or say heroin, and in so doing we can negate the information, we can negate the signal of marijuana, heroin, or even alcohol. What does that mean? We correct the informational pattern. And when we correct the informational pattern, then many times people see a correction in their behavior or their desire for recreational drugs.
So basically, it's dealing with energy for my listening audience. He's dealing with the energy that is picked up through the scalar light. Now, you mentioned several times the instruments you use, and I know my listening audience is curious about, well, what instruments does he use to do this? So can you explain that?
Sure, thank you. These are custom-built instruments. These are instruments that control scalar energy. Now, when I say scalar energy, I mean a dimension, a type of energy that's not electricity and magnetism. So when I'm working with my scalar energy instrument, I can access a different energy dimension. And in so doing, there's a different reality. There's a different physics for scalar energy as opposed to electricity. So working through that quantum field of scalar energy, it's pure information, and I can, with a scalar energy instrument, I can effectuate, I can produce an informational change instantaneously. Consider what I'm saying. I can change information instantaneously. There's no physicality here. This is what makes my work so interesting and so rewarding. It's a guaranteed outcome. When you're working with information, you simply change the informational field.
Now, would you happen to need, when you're doing this, the person's age and any background information on them?
No, none. And that's a great question, because the photograph has all of their information. When I place a person's photograph inside my instrument knows everything about that person's soul, mind, and body, so to speak. So this energy, this, if you will, information system, I believe it's divine, this energy will ascertain the exact constitution of a person. So when a person submits their photograph, the energy knows how to correct an imbalance. The energy knows how to correct disease or some type of, malady. It's the energy that always does the work. But remember, it's always in the informational plane. This is not a biological process. This is all non-physical information.
Now, when you're going through scalar light treatment,
yes,
are there any particular, I don't want to say diets, but should you be consuming natural food products? Does that play a role in your treatment?
It's not directly related to it, but I would highly encourage people to follow a very sound diet and to avoid, obviously, junk food or processed food, heavily processed food. Now, to speak to that point, when I'm working with people and their diet is excellent, it seems that they have a more meaningful experience. People who are on junk food don't seem to have as meaningful or as the success that people vis-a-vis who are practicing the proper diet. So there's something to be said about people who practice the proper diet, and they feel much better with these sessions.
And I see, too, that you have, for females who have hormonal imbalances, you have programs for not only females, but males also to get their bodies back in alignment.
Yes, we have the ability to send into the photograph to assemble male and female hormones. Now, keep in mind, this is not a chemical process. It's a light process, and we're very successful. Many people say that after we've assembled male and female hormones or set up the informational code, in so doing, that they feel better. So to make this very clear, as a new science, we only have people's testimonies to rely upon.
Right.
There is no scientific protocol. This is a new science. It's never been done before, doctor. I'm the originator. And I hence, there is no other independent group that can prove or disprove my work. I am the trailblazer here. So I have to rely upon people's testimony.
Right. How did you get into this? We know that you followed Tesla, but what brought you directly into this research through scalar lighting?
It really was God's hand. I saw that how this new science could benefit people. If you take it from this vantage point, that scalar energy is the energy of the stars. So what am I working with, really? I'm working with free energy of the stars. Now, what does that mean? Well, eventually, once we develop our understanding of scalar energy, we will be able to create free energy instruments. We'll be able to power the world with free energy. That's where we're going with this. These are star instruments, or instruments that receive energy from the stars. So we no longer have to depend upon fossil fuels. That's just one of the benefits with this new technology.
Very interesting. You have over 25 years in this research.
Yes, I put my life in it, exactly.
Now, before those 25 years, what were you doing prior to that?
You know, I was actually working part-time and trying to advance my theories. This has been a lifelong goal, so I had to work. I had to have some type of material support. So prior to doing this on a full-time basis, I had to work. But now I'm doing this on a full-time basis, and I'm happy to say that we are going to introduce this new science to the world. The world will really embrace what we're doing.
Okay, just say, for instance, Tom, that a group of individuals wanted to go through your treatment.
Yeah.
Can they, by sending in a group photograph, will that interfere with another person's healing? You know, you're dealing with different individuals.
Good question. To answer the question, no. In my laboratory today, I'm working with over 20,000 people by way of group photographs, 20,000 people. And there's no interference. This energy will be able to pick up everybody's force field on the photograph and send energy to every person's force field on that photograph.
And how would a individual that's in my listening audience get a photo to you?
Yeah. We have a website, scalarlight.com. Now, we offer free sessions. Anybody can email us their photograph, or your entire family. You can send us a group photograph or single photographs of your family. And what I try to do is offer free sessions to begin with. In that sense, people then can feel the energy, they can experience this, and then people can decide if this is of merit to them. So the website is scalarlight.com. I encourage all of your listeners, they want, submit, email us a photograph. It's just a regular photograph of your face. Just email it to us, and we will work with you for free for 15 days, and then you decide if the new science is a benefit to you.
And if they should want to, are you on social media?
Yes, I have a Facebook page, Tom Palladino, Scalar Light.
Okay, and all. Now let's talk about in lupus. Normal appearing skin is not normal. Groundwork for inflammation laid before lesions develop. Now, keratinocytes in seemingly healthy skin taken from lupus patients were found to be secreting
type 1 interferons, which in turn appeared to educate dendritic cells that were prominent in lesional and non-lesional skin. According to Michelle Collenberg, MD, PhD, these processes were not seen in samples from healthy controls, the group reported in Science Translational Medicine. Collenberg and colleagues call the interferon-driven effects on dermal, immune, and stromal cells pervasive and pronounced in non-lesional samples from patients, such that normal-appearing skin of patients with cutaneous lupus exists. Moreover, it appears possible that the educated dendritic cells may play a role and SLE effects on other organ systems. This is no small matter for lupus patients, as something like 70% develop skin manifestations. Indeed, many cases of lupus do not appear systemic, but only involve the skin. Even when current therapies bring SLE under control, the skin lesions may remain and are hard to eradicate. Knowing that keratinocytes drive this process could eventually provide targeted therapeutic strategies, although more research is needed to clarify what Collenberg's called cell-cell communication between non-lesional and lesional skin, leading to overt inflammation and lesion development. It was already known that lupus skin lesions brim with interferons, but the deeper roots of what goes wrong remain to be dug out. In the new report, the researchers described a series of studies and samples taken from 7 lupus patients and 14 healthy volunteers. These include RNA sequencing of patients' normal appearing and lesional skin to identify cell types, tests for interferons and other cytokines, and studies of circulating immune cells. One of the group's accomplishments was tracking dendritic cell transition over pseudotime, in which different patterns of gene expression in the captured cells were presumed to reflect different states in their community's evolution. This effort produced a picture of non-classical peripheral blood monocytes developing into CD16 plus dendritic cells, during which cellular activities shifted from those related to leukocyte trafficking to autophagy, and finally to cytokine signaling. Limitations to the study included that of the 7 lupus patients included Only one had skin manifestations without systemic illness. Such patients, the researchers acknowledged, are as numerous as those with SLE and merit deeper investigation. Also, the study's cell collection method might have biased the cell types recovered. So they're doing further studies on these cells. So when normal appearing skin is not normal, that's why I say people cannot box lupus into one category. Lupus is not a one size fits all illness. Stay with me, and we'll be talking about shocking mismanagement in our organ donation system is causing needless deaths. You know what, guys? I was just sitting up here. You ever look at your EOB's explanation of benefits from your insurance company? I was just looking at mine, and for, let's see, from January to June, 6 months. Total medical bills for myself is $6,000. Let me get it right. Where did I see it? It was $6,000 and, oh shoot. Wait a minute. Let me, what, we're going to round it off to $6,500 for, might as well say 6 months. My liver biopsy was over $4,000. Now, for people like those of us who have chronic illnesses, which have no cure, and these illnesses cause damage to other parts of your body, wouldn't it be wise to try to find something, a medication besides the normal of hydroxychloroquine, better known as Plaquenil, Benlysta, and other meds to cure the chronic illness lupus? $6,500. Now, usually when I go for my blood draws, and that's every time I go to the doctor, depending on which specialist I go to, the lab bill for one doctor could be $2,000. We get it all wrong, you know? We have this medical system here in the United States all wrong. It's all wrong. People who really need it can't get it, and people who get it abuse it. And we have to play into the big pharma who supports those in our government. So, hey, what can I say? We need to be there needs to be change. You know, those of us who have been in the medical system, I'm talking about as patients, you know, if we go to the ER, they think we're looking for drugs to get high or to sell. So we don't go to the ER because we don't want to be bothered with that nonsense. So we choose to stay at home and get worse. And then there's those who do go to the doctor's office, and you try to get the doctor to believe, not all doctors, some doctors believe the symptoms that you are having, and you are labeled as it's all in your head. We have this all wrong. But that's just my opinion. And it doesn't reflect anything else but my opinion. Now let's talk about shocking mismanagement in our organ donation system is causing needless deaths. One of America's greatest tragedies, the still worsening opioid epidemic, is obscuring another. Failures in our national organ donation system. Even worse, opponents of major reforms in our organ donation system are exploiting this tragedy as they attempt to block long overdue congressional action. The magnitude of the opioid crisis shows no signs of peaking. New data from the CDC, National Center for Health Statistics, show that deaths from the opioid epidemic soared by 50% from October 2019 to October 2021, some of which reflected second-order effects of the pandemic. Similarly, alcohol-related deaths, according to recent CDC reports, were also up by a shocking 25% in 2020, from an average increase of 3.6% per year from 1999 to 2019. What does this have to do with organ donation? Well, drug overdoses and alcohol-related deaths fall into the subset of deaths that allow for organ donations to occur. So this sharp rise in opioid deaths has driven record-breaking organ donation numbers. That might sound like a silver lining to a very dark cloud, but as is often the case with public health data, the picture is more complex. Now, the government contractors in charge of organ donation, both organ procurement organizations, which oversee local organ recovery, and the organ procurement
Transplantation Network, which manages the system, are hiding behind increases in these deaths of despair to deflect criticism from what the House Oversight Committee has characterized as shocking management in organ procurement. In fact, HHS has deemed the majority of OPOs to be failing key performance metrics, contributing to 33 Americans dying every day for lack of an organ transplant. And the Senate Finance Committee is investigating the United Network for Organ Sharing. The OPTN contractor over serious concerns related to its role in overseeing our nation's OPOs, which have been severely underperforming for decades. There are major equity implications to these failures. OPOs have a jaw-dropping tenfold variability in how well they serve Black communities. And as past NAACP President Ben Jealous and one of us have written, fewer Black donors mean fewer Black recipients, which mean more Black deaths, prompting congressional leaders to call OPO reform on urgent health equity issues. OPO problems run far deeper than failure to recover organs. There are high-profile examples of misspent taxpayer dollars, criminality, and fatal lapses in patient safety, prompting both the bipartisan Senate investigation as well as one from the House Oversight Committee. And in late December 2021, a federal judge unsealed highly offensive internal emails from the CEO of the Massachusetts OPO in which she justified potential policy harms to patients in poor states, writing that you're a dumb F for living there. To deflect criticism, OPOs and UNOS have lobbied aggressively to confuse the recent increases in organ donors from opioid and other external causes, non-medical deaths like trauma, substance abuse, and suicide, with improved performance overall. If donation numbers are increasing, their argument goes, then the system must be performing well. And so the push for reform must be misguided. This is a cynical attempt to politically profit from the opioid scourge and other second order effects of the deadly pandemic. My God. You see how people make profit, well, try to make a profit off of deaths. Like I said, we have this medical system totally wrong in this country. It is totally wrong and totally screwed up. This whole world is screwed up, in my opinion, at this point in time. How can you say that you're a dumb F for living in these poor areas? Well, if you want individuals to live better and do better and take care of their health better, raise the minimum wage. No one can survive or even get by. So you have to do what you have to do to put a roof over you and your family's head. People, we got this healthcare system all screwed up, and the people who are over these systems are all screwed up. You know, in one of my podcasts, I talked about the algorithm that was intentionally set against African Americans who needed organ donations. Think about it. This system is all screwed up. But you tell people, oh, you have a fair shot. Yeah, while making minimum wage, you can't afford health care insurance. You have no educational courses for those who are in underserved community on health care literacy. That's where the problem exists. We need health care literacy in underserved communities. And why I brought that up is because the foundation that I formed, the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendricks Foundation, is in planning to hold health care literacy classes in the city of Highland Park, Michigan. That's what we're planning on doing. People in communities need to know that they have a patient bill of rights. They need to understand when the doctor is speaking with them. They need to have medical language from doctors and nurses on down, broken down into layman terms for them. If you go over to the foundation's website, you'll see what we are planning on doing. The web address is https://cemphfoundation.com and go under the heading Know Your Numbers. And we are in the process of getting that phrase copywritten So if anybody tries to take it, you'll have a hard time. So you can go over there and look and see what we plan on doing. And we plan on holding this forum. I call it a round table via Zoom, and it will be online. And if you would like to be a part of it, all you have to do is email me at email me at info@cemphfoundation.com, and in the subject area, put "Know Your Numbers" and state in the body of the email that you would like to be a part of this health literacy program. When we return, I'll be closing out, so stay with me. Well, it's time for me to go for today, but I want to tell you a little story. I was talking to someone I knew, and you ever met someone who never smiled, who was always serious? It's okay to be serious, but you also have to enjoy life. Now, this is what I told this individual. I said, you only get one go around. And you better get it right while you're here. You better enjoy yourself. And the individual told me that they did not believe in joking. And they thought that people who joke around and, you know, I don't want to say enjoy themselves, but relieve their stress by joking around and looking at things positive. This individual told me there's something wrong with people like that mentally. And I said, you think so? And they said, yes. And I said, you know what? People like that understand what life is about. No matter what you go through, you are supposed to enjoy this life and use your talents to do whatever God put you here to do. Life was not meant to live in fear, live in lack, or live like you are a grumpy old person. I said that. And I said, for myself, I'm going to enjoy myself because I've been through so much with my health. I'm still going through so much with my health. And I have to keep a positive attitude about life, period. And this person informed me that I needed to seek mental health. I said, okay, whatever you say. So I want to tell you guys this. The answer is who you are cannot be defined through thinking or mental labels or definitions, because it's beyond that. It is the very sense of being or presence that is there when you become conscious of the present moment. In essence, you and what we call the present moment are at the deepest level of one. I say all of that to say this, regardless of what you are going through today, stay positive. Enjoy yourself. Life is not over until God says it's over. Live your life like your life counted on it. Don't sit around being grumpy and mean. It gets you nowhere. You will remain in that same grumpy and mean spot alone. I'm Susan Hendricks, your host for My Story Living with Lupus podcast. I'll see you next time for another episode.